The Holy Gospel for this Christ the King Sunday is recorded in Luke, the 23rd chapter. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So when you think of Christ being king, how do you picture Christ as king? Well, this is an ancient one and a mosaic that sees Christ reigning triumphantly. Here's another image Rob will need your help. It just shut down. This is another image, Christ the king with a different kind of crown. On the other side of the resurrection, scepter in hand and blessing us from on high. Instead, this last Sunday of the church year, we get this picture from the Gospel of Luke, don't we? The king with a crown of thorns enthroned on a cross, and the only acclamations of this king are given as insults. The mockers don't realize they are actually speaking God's truth. First, it's the religious leaders of the day. They say, you can see them down here on the corner here on the left-hand side. They say, "If he's the Messiah of God, the chosen one, he saved others, let him save himself." And then the truth is spoken by the soldiers that you can see down here in the other corner, who've been rolling dice for his clothes, right? "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." And finally, it's one of the criminals on one of those other crosses hanging there. "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." All of them, the religious leaders, the soldiers, representatives of the powers that be, the government, and another criminal, unknowingly proclaiming Christ is king. But you notice what all of them, you know what it means for them that he would have kingly power? If you're the king, they assume one thing. Being king, above all things, is having power. Exercising that power, and especially out of self-interest. That's how we think God should make himself visible, don't we? Miraculous acts, deeds of power, superhuman stuff. "God, if you're God, why don't you rescue me from this situation? Heal me from this disease. God, if you're God, why are you allowing the leaders of the world to be so selfish? God, if you're God, why don't you fix poverty? Why don't you stop ISIS? Why don't you eliminate prejudice and racism from the planet?" On and on. If you're the Messiah, at least save yourself, right? Instead, we're left with this embarrassing image of Jesus as king. Executed like a criminal on a cross, a circle of thorns on as his crown, but it's precisely there that the people of faith can see what's really going on. We are those who know the invisible God is being made visible on the cross. And what's made visible is not a self-serving God, but a God who is a self-giving God of love. And in fact, that's precisely what Christ the King Sunday is about, this upside-down notion. The king who gives himself for all his people. Self-giving love makes visible the invisible God, Christ the King. The passage from Colossians this morning that you heard from Tom is one of the oldest Christian hymns, praise songs, right up there on the top of the charts with Philippians 2. That's another one of the praise songs in the New Testament from the early church. And it makes precisely this point. Self-giving love makes visible a God who is otherwise invisible. Now listen to this passage again and see if you can pick up on a phrase that keeps on getting repeated in this praise song. He's the invisible image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created. Whether thrones or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in all things. In him, all things hold together. Whether on earth or in heaven. Do you get it? What are the two words? Yeah. Now, if you're hearing this in the Greek language, you would hear like staccato through this passage over and over and over the word panta, which means all things. Panta. Do you think he's making a point here? Jesus the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the self-giving king on the cross, now risen from the dead, lives and rules the entire cosmos. King of creation, we're going to sing in the hymn Beautiful Savior later today. King over all peoples, all things, because in contrast to the governments, the principalities of this world that are all about self-interest and self-preservation, Jesus Christ is God's visible expression of self-giving love. In fact, what Colossians tells us is something rather radical. Now get this. The organizing principle of the universe, of the entire cosmos. If you're a scientist, get this. You know what the organizing principle of the universe is? Self-giving love. You got that? It's self-giving love. That's what we learn from Scripture. The invisible God being made visible in self-giving love. Some theologians call this the cruciform principle, that the Christ, the self-giving principle of God, was before all things, is in all things, rules over all things, this eternal Word of God that we see visibly demonstrated in Jesus. In him, all things are held together. That's pretty far-reaching, isn't it? Pretty radical concept. If you want to think about it for a while, the organizing principle of the entire universe is love like God loves, self-giving love. And that God, you know, uses even non-Christians to make that love visible. Regardless of who's doing the self-giving, it's God who is present, being made visible, holding all things together. And you can see that principle at every great epic. Star Wars, right? Self-giving. The Lord of the Rings, self-giving. Harry Potter, self-giving love. The Chronicles of Narnia, all the superheroes, right? Their reputations are based on self-giving love, aren't they? Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Superman's sister. I've been reading a novel for a change lately. It's from Sweden. It's called A Man Named Ovi. Have any of you read that book? Fascinating. A couple of you guys. Swede. He ends up, this is a guy who's just a cranky curmudgeon, and his wife has died, and he ends up, in this story, he ends up giving of himself time after time without even wanting to, and after his wife's death, he's so unhappy, and he's in such pain that he decides the only way out is to kill himself. But in one way or another, this guy who's trained his engineer mind, one way after another, every attempt fails when he attempts to commit suicide. The rope breaks on his ceiling. and somebody bangs on his garage door when he's trying to, you know, suffocate himself. In one way or another, he keeps failing on his attempts. And usually it's because somebody is knocking on his door seeking his help. So time after time, he finds himself begrudgingly giving of himself until it starts changing him. And then he comes to realize it's through self-giving that he is set free from his sorrow and pain to a new kind of life. Wow. Something for us to ponder. So here we are, and if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we understand that at the heart of the kingship of Christ Jesus is the self-giving love. If that's the organizing principle, then we are the ones who know that we know about this. Unlike the world around us, we're the ones who know self-giving love is God's design, not chaos, not evil, not destructiveness, not self-interest. None of that. What is at the center is of God's design, self-giving love. Because our hearts have experienced it not just cosmically, but personally, like that thief on the cross. Remember him looking over at Jesus as he's dying? And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And remember what Jesus says to him? He looks him in the eye and he says, I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise. And as those who have experienced that incredible self-giving love and have named it and claimed it, our role is as little Christs, Luther said, to be Christ to our neighbor, and whenever we're doing that, we are demonstrating, we are making visible to the world the invisible God. That's our mission. Make God, who has redeemed us with self-giving love, make that God known in the world. And how many ways can you do that? Well, my goodness. Just start with what's in your bulletin. There's so many ways. It's so exciting to be part of a congregation that gets that. Self-giving love is the principle behind everything we do. And when we're doing those things, there's a joy and a sense of purpose in our life that nothing else can match. And that's what financial stewardship is, really. This month, you're being asked to consider your giving to Lord of Life for the coming year. Make a self-giving, sacrificial commitment to support our mission together as Lord of Life so that it can continue to change lives. That's what we've been saying this month, changing lives in the videos that we're watching. Now, it costs money to do all the things that we see happening around here, you know? And to be honest, we're lagging behind right now. We're about $60,000 behind our budget at this point of the year. But if you believe we should continue our current ministries, then we need you to step up. In the next 6 weeks before year's end, and if you're already giving sacrificially, great, thanks. And if you haven't yet experienced this joy of giving like this sweet, curmudgeonly sweet old, I invite you to take a risk, take a step. And give back what a portion of what God has already given you so that this ministry can continue to be a visible expression of God's invisible self-giving love here and around the world. The good news is this. It's not all up to us. This is God's work, and it's already true that in Christ, in his death and resurrection, all things hold together already. Even when other people in the world can't see it, we can. We have eyes to see, and please repeat with me, in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. In him things hold together. On earth as it is in heaven.